Isn't that something? All right. Yes, it's my time. And came to my mind before I came to share it with you. And we can say share, right? We can share. We can say preach. I'm not teaching you. No. But I remember that the woman at the well, where the Lord revealed himself to her, like now the person, when he say, I am the living water. The Bible tells us that the woman went back to the city and started declaring. She was the first evangelist. Start declaring to everybody about the Lord. The Bible says that because of it, the whole town came and see. Come and see. Come and see. It's my prayer this morning, as the Lord has put in my heart, that you will do the same, that you will come and see. That some way, somehow, I can channelize and bring some ideas of what the Lord wants you to be reminded this morning. Nothing new, probably, but hopefully deeper. And when you leave this place, you'll be transformed and changed. Wouldn't that be great? We already have been ministered tremendously. It is really, I rejoice in my heart to see different people coming. I see, I hear. And even seeing the young one, you know, just coming to share that which the Lord has put in their heart. Isn't that wonderful? That's that generation that is going to usher the coming of the Lord. We're getting a baptism today about a young one, too. And I just rejoice to see that generation taking arms. Amen? And glory. And that's what the Holy Spirit, and that's what God is all about. That's what the body of Christ. Have you thought about it? The body of Christ. So I need to hear the Christ in you, right? The hope of glory. What is he saying? What is he saying to you? What is he saying to me? And putting it all together, we get this awesome message. Amen? Because he does speak to you all the time. We're the one to hold that back and don't share. We need to share. That's the first thing we teach the little ones, right? Wonderful. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit and your anointing and your word. Thank you, Father, for being so good and so faithful. Thank you, Lord, for your presence already here. Thank you for all the messages that you have given us, that you have spoken to each one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you seal everything that we have received this morning of you, and that we'll take it home with us, and that will sustain us, Lord, and build us up and strengthen us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Lord guide me this morning to bring to your remembrance once again how important it is for us to have a close relationship, an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, we've been singing about the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Holy Spirit. We know in the Godhead, the Father, Son, and what? Holy Spirit. But I just want to remind you this morning how important it is. And then you, where you are, sitting there, listening to what I'm bringing and rereading some of the scriptures that we're going to present, you can audit yourself. What does that mean? You can test yourself. You can what? Judge yourself. The Bible tells us, judge yourself. So I pray this morning that I'm not standing here judging you, but that you, through the Holy Spirit, will judge yourself where you are. How about that? And you know why that is so good? Because when we judge ourselves, it stays with us. It transforms us. It's changing us. Not just because somebody is telling you, do this, do that, but because you got that revelation from the Lord. Amen? So it's my prayer that the Lord will reveal himself in such a mighty way that the Holy Spirit this morning, as he already have ministered to each one of us, that he'll go deeper into your life. That when you leave this place, you realize that you have an awareness of what the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. Because he's a person. Amen? He's a person. He's not an it. He's not just power. He's a person. And we are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that at this time that you and I are living here, we are moved, we are ministered through the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just going to bring some scripture for you to assure you and to put you in a place, where are you? Where is your relationship with this Holy Spirit? I'm here to remind you that if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're taken into your heart, then you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Behold, things become new. And I'm here to tell you that you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? You've been marked by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? The Holy Spirit is in you. Glory to God, the hope of glory. Well, who is this Holy Spirit? And why? What does the Lord want the Holy Spirit for me to see him and to know him? Thank you, Ricardo. I keep on going, taking everybody with me. All right, we'll start. We'll get some scripture. We can put some scriptures up here because last time we didn't put it, and I was giving all kinds of scripture, and they weren't coming out. So we're going to the book of Acts 1:7. It started there. Now, before that, when Jesus was with his disciple, he says something very profound. One of the things he says is, if I do not leave, the Holy Spirit cannot come. The Father cannot send the Holy Spirit. So it was imminent that he had to leave. Jesus said, I must leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. So he was looking forward to that because he knew something very great still was going to stay. In the Old Testament, it's been prophesied where the Spirit of the Lord was going to be among them, but then it will come a day where the Holy Spirit was going to be in them. And so that's what we're living. We're living in a place where the Holy Spirit is in me, is in you. If you have made the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you haven't, it doesn't take too long, but it means the world. So after Jesus died and resurrected and spent 40 days with his disciple, he has this to say. He has some commandments to say to the disciples and to the people. Acts 1:7 say, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So you see, he is ministering to them. Picture this. Jesus had resurrected from the dead. He's ministering to them. He's spending time with them. He's eating with them. He's giving them all this teaching. All of a sudden, say, wait a minute. You need to go and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Why was this so important that the Holy Spirit will be bestowed upon each one of them? Because they needed power. I'm here to tell you, you cannot serve God on your own. We cannot obey the Lord and live in the kingdom of God on our own. Not with the intellect, not with our flesh. The flesh goes against God all the time. We need what? Power. Power to overcome the enemy. Power to overcome the flesh. Power to overcome all these things that the enemy sent, right? We can't do it with our own. Guess what? Jesus knew that. Jesus knew we needed what? Power, something stronger than us in order to live in the kingdom of heaven. So here we go. We are translated. Now he's telling you, just go. And don't leave there until you endure with power. You know, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes, they spoke in tongues. I want to address another side of the Holy Spirit. It's all one. I'm not going to concentrate in speaking in tongues and all that. We have taught that over and over. And sometimes we tend to go there all the time. But the Holy Spirit is more than just speaking in tongues. Amen? So I want to bring that power that he has put in each one of us. And I want you to grab it and run with it. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter. Help us in what? How does the Holy Spirit help us? Well, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, which is so important. Amen? I hope we all pray. I hope you pray. How is your prayer? Do you pray when it's the ninth hour and things are going so wrong? and you're desperate? Or do you talk to the Lord through the Holy Spirit? You see, you can't pray without the Holy Spirit interceding for you. On Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Thank God. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Every Sunday at 6 o'clock, we gather here and we pray. It's a group of us that pray here for you. Pray for the body. Pray for the will of God. And it is so good to be led by the Spirit to know how to pray. How many of you know sometimes get to a point that you don't know what else to pray? Sometimes you wonder if you are praying the right thing. Sometimes you question, Lord, I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming right back to me. Well, here's the Holy Spirit help us to pray. That's what the Bible says. Intercede for us. Convey to us. Bring to our mind. Pray for this person. How many times we're minding our own business and all of a sudden somebody comes to our mind? I'm here to tell you that's the Holy Spirit for you to what? Pray. Raising children for many, many years. I thank God the leading of the Holy Spirit, where he will put one of my children, and still to this day, put one of my children to pray in that moment. Just to find out later on that thank God at that time, and that moment, they were going through a crisis. Who knows that? Who knows that? But the Holy Spirit. You're raising children, believe me, you need to have this covenant. You hear the word covenant with the Holy Spirit. And you need to realize the power and the strength that he brings. So the Holy Spirit help us to pray. He help us to learn. He teaches us all things. John 14:26, but the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will what? Teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I say to you. The Bible is a book that has been written and read for many, many years. But I'm here to tell you, if you don't have the Spirit of God, when you read the Word, it doesn't make sense to you. And that's why there's so many different ideas. How can your spirit being dead gonna read life things in the spirit if you are not born again? If you don't have the Spirit of God, how would you interpret correctly the Word of God? You need the Spirit of the Lord. You need the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible tells us there that Holy Spirit what? Teaches us all things and reminds us of things. How many times you've been talking to someone, and as you're talking to someone, scriptures start coming to your mind. You may not know where specifically, right? Like chapter and verse, but you definitely know it's in the Word. Amen? And before you know it, you're sharing. Who's doing that? Well, I'm here to tell you it's not your flesh. And it's not your knowledge. Because you are not that smart, right? We're not that smart. The Holy Spirit brings to you scripture. I don't know what I'm saying this. The same thing with the prophetic when you're ministering to someone. I don't know. I'm talking to you, but I feel, I sense, I see. Who is doing all that work? You? No, the Holy Spirit that is empowering you to that. So he teaches all things. He makes us holy. Let's go to Galatians 5:16 and say, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Who walks in the Spirit? We are to walk in the Spirit. So if we're going to walk in the Spirit, don't you think we need to be closer to the Spirit and know him so we know? What is it to walk in the Spirit? Because I'm right here in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Are we led by the Spirit? Or are we led by our intellect? Let's be honest. In your mind, think about it. You're going to do some business transaction. You're going to do some work. Do you count on the Lord to lead you? You have hear me say often this, not always, not every time you do something right, it makes you feel good. If that will be the case, no one will do anything wrong. The flesh just wants to go towards sin. The flesh goes to the selfish realm. That's why the Bible is telling us that there is a tug of war, right? Between the Spirit and between your flesh. Paul say, oh, wretched of me, the things that I want to do, those are the things I don't do. Where do you go when you're going to make a decision? Do you go to the Lord first? Or do you make your decision? You're not led by the Spirit. You make your decision, and then you bring a prayer kind of to make it come to pass, isn't it? Oh, Lord, or when things, that decision that we make is not quite working the way we thought, then we get desperate, then we invite the Holy Spirit to come and fix it. And then we get upset when things don't turn out the way we want it. What does it mean, leading? To be led by the Spirit? What does that mean? I don't think it's behind. And I don't think it's beside me. I think it's where? Ahead. So before you make a transaction, financial decision, they have to involve your children and your wife or your husband and your job. Before you do that, do you count on the Holy Spirit? Do you pray? Do you say, Lord? You know, I even hear people that don't like to pray like that. Lord, if it's not of you, close the door. I know people literally that don't pray that. Why? They don't want that door to be closed. If we're going to be honest, right? Lord, this sounds so perfect. You know, that's the car I want, Lord. I mean, got the wheels and the whistles. Bells and whistles. My husband's been correcting me. I put the whistle before I put the bell. Bells and whistles is still sounding. It's still making noise. Hello. So do we go to the Lord? And that job that we want is because we want it. Have you seen a little toddler making arrangements with you? But they want it. I want it now. With the Holy Spirit, if He's leading you, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead your life? Or are you leading it yourself? I don't know. If He's in me, the hope of glory, I better count with Him a little bit more than what I do. So He helped us to be holy. The Holy Spirit helped us to be holy. He helped us to get rid of those bad habits that we keep on falling into it. Do you pray before you know? This is like a cycle, right? We know where we our bad habits, right? Before we get there, do you count on the Spirit of the Lord and the power of God to help you stop it before you get there? Not when you're there. He helps us to stay holy. He helps us to stay wholesome, to listen to it. The Holy Spirit helps us to worship. We were worshiping this morning, John 4:23. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father where? How? In spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such worship to worship Him. God is a spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So when we gather together, like we were this morning, We need to do a transfer. We need to enter into the Spirit. The Spirit that is in you. If you stay in the flesh, you can stay in the flesh and not be touched by anything that is done in the service. But God is a Spirit. And so sometimes we allow, He's a gentleman. Amen? He's a Spirit. He's a gentleman. And so that's why when we're worshiping and we cross over, right? You know when you cross over. It's when you leave your flesh behind and you enter into that presence and you go, wow, this is good. This is good. I get it. The song has been sung the third, fourth time. I get it. I see it. I feel it. All I want is you, Lord, right now at this moment. Isn't that great? Why do you think the Lord encouraged us to gather together? It will be the day where everyone that comes to the service will hear and know and sense what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We are the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is just not sitting here waiting for us. He came with you. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit has feelings. It's a He. Yes, He has feelings. Do you know that? It's not just a power in it. No. You know how I know? The scripture tells He does. That He has feelings. The Holy Spirit, it talks about not quenching. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Something that can be quenched. How can we quench the Spirit of God? Oh, hear me. The time of quenching the Spirit of the Lord needs to stop. When you lose your temper, I say lose, you find it. You're quenching the Spirit of God. Because you see, when you leave this place, He doesn't stay here alone. He goes with you. And you know that sin, that lie, that disrespectfulness, that indifference towards the Holy Spirit, He's a gentleman. He's not going to barge in. He's not going to make you listen. He's not going to shake you like a maraca, although I feel sometime that will be great. Wouldn't you like that? But He doesn't. So when we sin, and when we ignore Him, and when everything else in our life is more important than me spending 5 or 10 minutes with the Spirit of the Lord, oh yes, it quenches the Spirit. The Bible tells us, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Don't keep Him away. Embrace Him. Let Him come in. Sometimes we can put a mask and pretend everything is okay. But when you sin, when you and me sin, He was there. The Holy Spirit was there and He saw it. And He felt it. Not only the Lord is asking us not to quench the Spirit. He tells us not to grieve it. Oh, can I grieve the Holy Spirit? Wait. Isn't it mighty God? Isn't it God? When do I grieve it? Ephesians 4:30. And do not. You see, it's do not. What does do not mean in the Bible? Do not means do not. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not is because you can. Don't grieve Him. Don't quench it. And I feel like the Spirit of the Lord wants you to really take a hold of this. The one that is leading you. The one that created you. The one that when you pray takes your prayers and turn them around for your good. The healer, the one that is vindicating you, the one that set us free, the one that deliver us, is telling us, don't quench me, don't grieve me. Let me be God. That means that the power of the Holy Spirit to do and to express himself as God in our midst, in our personal life, it's been quenched by our sin. If we're keeping him from being all that he can in our life. Think about it. How would the church be, the glorious church of Christ, if each one of us would allow that power, the same one that's going to resurrect us when we die? Pastor George and I has been a lot of time with people that are going into a transition from this life to eternity. It's a big difference between those that have walked with the Lord. It is very sad because death is not of God. You know, you understand that. Nevertheless, we're there to help them in that transition. And those that love the Lord, we can say it's kind of glorious after. At the moment, it's hard. But in that moment, in that instant, before that last breath, all they have is the Spirit of God. That's all they need. You and I are going to go through that. But if you don't have a relationship with the Spirit of the Lord, and you haven't been talking to the Lord and praying to him and just allowing him to be God in your life, do you think you're going to feel him? Well, he's there. Just the way he's been in our life, that we keep on what? Pushing him away. We need to embrace it because, listen, times are getting hard. Amen? Everybody say amen. The Bible says, woe unto those that call good and evil good. I think we're living that. Aren't we? We need the Spirit of truth. We need the sermon. We need the gift. We need the miracles. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the miracle. We lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. Who is doing the recovering? Who's doing the healing? Me? I'm just in obedience to God. I'm just going to lay hands. Because there's a transfer. Our hands. There's a transfer. This sign shall follow those that believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will what? They will recover. Who's doing it? The Holy Spirit, if I allow the Holy Spirit, if I'm not quenching the Holy Spirit, you see where I'm going? If I'm not grieving the Holy Spirit with my attitudes and my ways, how many times the Holy Spirit bring conviction, right? Thank God for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. He doesn't condemn us, but he brings conviction. I pray there's been some conviction this morning. Oh, believe me, I already went through all this. I'm all convicted. But the Holy Spirit to bring conviction, thank God for that. You want that. You want to hear conviction from the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit to say, whoa, you want that red light, right? Stop. Turn. Don't. It's not your flesh. How can you be, you know, rude to someone? Go to Walmart and be rude to the cashier. You don't know what kind of life that cashier is going through. You don't know an hour before what she had to go. And you're the body of Christ carrying the Holy Spirit in you. And you need to extend grace. And you need to extend love. And you need to give them a smile. But if you're grieving the Holy Spirit yourself and quenching it, what do you think is going to come out to the cashier? she didn't take care of you, or she just overcharged you, or I don't know. It's not her. She's working. And you're the only light that you can show her, and you chose to let her have it. You think the Holy Spirit like that? Or your flesh? Now remember when we read that's a tug of war between the spirit and the flesh. We're constantly, constantly. But if you are aware of His presence and filled up with the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, I assure you, you will think it twice before you're rude and mean and unkind. Before you allow your mouth to say all kinds of stuff, you will think it twice. Why? Because you're carrying holiness. You're carrying the Lord. In the book of Acts, to end, I want you to show you, and I want you to see yourself whether you're in the first batch or the second batch. But the first one, the book of Acts, the book of Acts 1:15. Let me tell you a little bit of background before we close. Judas, the one that betrayed Jesus, was one of the 12 disciples, right? Remember? He betrayed Jesus. He turned his back. Now they're 11. They are supposed to be 12. And so all the disciples got it together and they say, we need to choose someone to take the place. Remember that scripture? That's that. We need to take someone to replace it. And that person need to be one that has been with Jesus and the baptism of John the Baptist at the time and all that. Apostles, let's put it. Let's get it together. Let's choose one. On 21, Acts 1:21. Say, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they propose Barsabbas, whose surname is Justus, and Matthias. And they pray and say, you, O Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take part in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he may go to his own place. 26. And they cast their lots. And the lot fell on Matthias. Matias, if you say in Spanish. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, this was before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost. They pray, but they cast what? Lots. To make sure. Are we still there? I was still where they were. They were not empowered by the infilling of the Holy Spirit yet. They had to depend on lots. Heads or tail. We're not there. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came to give us power. After that, they were all filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Same close situation. Let's go to another example. And you know, and that's okay. They cast lots. That's the best they can do. The best they can do. Are we there? We pray and we hope. Or do we pray and we know that the Holy Spirit is going to intercede? That the Holy Spirit is going to give us what? Direction. That the Holy Spirit can lead us. That the Holy Spirit knows what's in the mind and in the heart of man. I know I have this power that is available Now the next one, Acts 6, 1. Now the church started growing. This is after the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The church started growing, and they were not taking care of the widows. And there was a lot of work. That's usually happened when the church grows. And it was overflowing. And so they say, we need to, you know, dedicate ourselves into the teaching. Number 3:6-3 say, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation. You see, we're going to choose. Now, to be in ministry, we're all in ministry, but there are some qualifications, right? We need people that walk in love and see the fruit of the Spirit. Seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. You see, there's business going on in the church. It's okay. They got a situation. They got somebody to set in ministry. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude. And they choose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And then the names of others, 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they lay hands on them. Hallelujah. Big difference, isn't it? I don't see no lots thrown here. They're not throwing the lots head or tail. Do you know you can have that assurance in the Spirit of the Lord in you? That you know. That you know, that you know. Do you know? Some years ago when Pastor George was in the hospital, they wanted to remove everything from him. He had no chance. He had cancer, it had spread, metastasized, it was horrible. And there's the doctors there saying, we need to remove everything and just give him like a mic that you can talk. I don't know the word. And at that time, they say, you know, he'll never speak. So he lost his voice. At this time, he has lost his voice completely. And I'm by myself. I'm pregnant with David, Daniel. I have to make a decision. He was in ICU, and I had to sign some papers. Signing the papers will give permission for the surgeon to remove everything. Who's there with me? Who do I have? That is a big decision. You know, on one hand, if we do this, we'll give him a couple of years. If we do this, and maybe he'll be able to see your child born. Put yourself in there. I was just 30 years old. 3 little ones, the one in. I had some family members that thought it was my pride and accused me of being prideful for not signing the papers. But let me tell you, in the midst of all that, in my spirit, the Holy Spirit say, don't touch him. Who does that? Who knows? Holy Spirit. And I had to be led by the Spirit of God at that moment. And even though my flesh, I didn't want him to die. I want him to live. And even though everybody around us that's supposed to know are going towards that, I refuse to sign. I say, I'm not signing. Let him be. The Lord's going to heal him. I remember saying that. Of course, they look at you like you're a cuckoo. That's okay. The Lord's going to heal him. But if he doesn't heal him, this is what I said. I want him to go complete. Don't mutilate him. Are we in that place? I don't have to throw lots. I just need to hear the inner voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. And then you take that, what you hear from the Lord, not your flesh, not your mind, not your attitude. Remember? You take what you feel you hear from the Holy Spirit and you bring it to the Word. And if it makes sense and it's in the Word, then you got two things, right? You got the Word of God and the Rhema Word of the Holy Spirit telling you. You know what? You don't lose. Remember the three Hebrew children? What they say? Our Lord is going to deliver us. They're going to send them into the firing furnace. They were going to get burned. But what did they say after that? We know our God can deliver us, but even if, right? Even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your God. The body of Christ needs to get to that place. We need to arm ourselves again. We are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We're having baptism coming up. They're going to be witness of what God has already done in their life. When Jesus got baptized, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came as a dove and rest upon their shoulder. How about Corey? We see a dove resting upon your shoulders, right? We don't need that. We have the Word and we know it's in there. And we are going to be witnesses of something that happened inside of them already to the outside. The world is dying, wanting to see outside what we profess has happened in our inside. Let's all stand. Hey, Lisa. God has empowered you to be a witness. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot do it because of your looks or your flattering words or your status and position. The world is full of that. They don't need that. They don't want that. They need the Christ in you, the hope of glory. They need your words that are anointed by the Spirit of the Lord. They need hope. How can you move in the Spirit when you're living in the flesh? How? It's my prayer that as you leave, you are reminded that the Holy Spirit is in you. I'm going to say a prayer and then I want you to listen to this song. And I want you to make a confession between you and the Lord and the Holy Spirit. I think we all have to ask forgiveness for pushing him to the side and doing it with our strength instead, with his strength. God is going to give you divine appointments where you're going to have to be praying for people. Yes, praying. Remember why he poured the Holy Spirit in the first place? To empower us. To what? To witness. The time is short. And I just pray that this will be the week that you're going to bring people to the kingdom. Father, I bless your people. I ask you to forgive us, Lord, for the time, Holy Spirit, that we have set you aside instead of starting the day. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Lead and guide your people. Guide us, Lord. You never leave us or forsake us. You convict us of our sin. You help us in everything in our life. You will be with us through eternity. And so, Lord, we need you more than ever. And we welcome you once again in our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in your presence.
anyone needs prayer, we're going to be here very briefly. And then we're going to go to Fifth Avenue in Belmont area for the baptism. So you are dismissed in Jesus' name.